to today, you know, I've got about 10 hours to sleep in the last 2 days. We were driving home after, you know, doing all kinds of stuff today. I don't even remember what. And, you know, Jackie said, when do you want to come back over to Columbia for Bible study? It was like, in my mind, I was just going to go home and sleep, you know, instead of coming to Bible study. But my real agenda was, I wanted to go home and practice. You know, and I haven't, you know, it's like when I work and do other stuff, it's like, you know, I haven't touched the instrument in days. And it just was wearing on me. And lately, I've come to this position of, you know, that I just feel like I've put things on the back burner. Or at least it took getting to this point, or letting it go this long, to see if, you know, just how I would feel, I guess. But at this point, it's like I'm thinking I want to go back to school, or, you know, I want to do this music thing and try and do it like I think I need to do it, whatever that means. But my second agenda seems to always be that. It's like, I'll pay.
Well, we got into an argument about it.
We got into an argument.
I couldn't figure out why you didn't want to go to Bible study.
Yeah. She wanted me to go.
And I know I wanted to go. So it was like, I want you to do something and you don't want to do it. And, you know, the internal argument. No.
But it was like, and then I got home and I had, you know, messages on my machine from the guys in the band. They wanted to rehearse tonight. It was like all the stuff just coming at me from different angles, and, you know, and it just, I just cried, just, and at that point it was like I didn't have a stimuli coming at me strong enough from any direction to make me want to do any one thing. It was just like, you know, and, but I know that for me is a hidden agenda that I always hide, you know, the desire to learn or practice or do that stuff, you know.
Yeah, but
I hide it.
No, I understand.
Especially lately, because.
No, hold on. This next thing that we're going to do in terms of high place activity is the I am things. Now, the only reason that you go into all these trips is you've got an identity of yourself. You have taken it as a given that I am a musician.
Yes.
That's a lie. I am is I am. And so because you have taken it as a given that I am a musician, and it's at the core of your being, it's the core of who you are, then that agenda is always the control program in your life. No matter what other things you're doing, this one is always running. Well, all of those programs are lies, especially the bass programs. You're not a musician. I am. Then you can be free of any hidden agendas. So there's no opposing yourself. That's what the role of preaching is, to impatience and meekness. And we, as I said the other night in stealth, you can probably debate a lot whether I'm meek or not. But in patience and meekness, teach those that oppose themselves. Well, that's all you do when you get into these trips, is you're sitting there opposing yourself.
Yeah, that's the feeling.
And the whole machine shuts down when you start opposing yourself. Well, the reason you oppose yourself is you've got all these programs that are running automatically that define who Matt is. The only definition of who Matt is I am Christ in this form. For me to live is Christ. There is no other hidden, there's no other program running. Every program that's running besides that is a lie. A terrible lie. A grievous lie. And that, all that, so all these things that go on in you, and it's not, I mean, I'm talking to you, it's the same in everybody. How'd you like to have I Am the Doppelganger as your program? You know, that'll drive you, I mean, his is enough to, meaning, I mean, he only had one rule, and that's, well, that's another story. But you have a base program in your computer that says, I am a musician. And that, it's greater than I am a Christian, it's greater than I am a believer, it's greater than I am a husband, it's greater than I am a man. And it's a lie. The explosion, the natural order of it in the I am position may very well be that music will come forth. But as long as the program says, I am a musician, then you'll always be in opposition to yourself. You'll never experience joy. You know, if I think of myself, if I say, I am a preacher, or I am a whatever the hell I think of, I'm none of those things. I am. My God, if I had, I am a Bible study teacher, I am a preacher, and I have responsibility in the spirit for 70 souls, or however many there are, I'd go crazy. I can't permit for one second any modifier on I am. If I do, and I don't permit it, well, because I know how stupid it is, so it just goes away. You're free.
I mean, is all this stuff, is it all just contrived? Is it all?
It's all contrived. Every program, everything is a deception. And it's a deception for one purpose, to cause blasphemy of the temple. But it doesn't have long to live, so don't worry about it. You understand? You see, when you deal with the core, then all the other stuff just flies away. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God didn't run think of himself, oh, I am this, or I am that, or I am this. Who gives a shit?
I don't know why it matters to me, but...
Well, I know why. It's because you're a child of the devil. And the desires of your Father you will to do. When you stay in that will, when you play his ball game, you're going to be beat from pillar to post. You can get out of it that quickly. Pick up the cross. Every time you're tempted to make you as the subject, which you've done all day, of your sentence, then you're, forget it, it's all a lie. Pretty simple, huh?
Yeah.
You either believe that or you'll walk.
Yeah.
Let's cut the baby in half. Because every time you believe something other than what we've just said, then you're back to your own devices. And you put a covering between you and the power of God.
I don't feel like I've ever not had that covering there.
Well, because it's probably there, but it's got some holes in it. I am.
Different way.
Don't pay any attention to the. Yeah, I mean, that's, don't play in the, you want to go out and eat some dog shit again, or dog vomit?
No.
Anytime you make you the subject, then you're just eating your own vomit. You're the dog returning to its own vomit. And that's why without pity, without mercy, we revenge that disobedience, so that that life, which is the true you, is revealed. And it's revealed publicly. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, bottom line is you're taking yourself too fucking seriously.
That's the truth.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's true.
Oh. Anybody have anything else?
I'm just saying, you're getting yourself.
What does the impulse and instinct in the mind comes to? I mean, if you follow your impulses, I mean, our the mind that, you know, we gifted with the mind and brain. I mean, how do we get to use that? Or do we?
Well, I wouldn't say gifted with the mind and brain. That wouldn't what I would. That wouldn't be the word that I would use.
Mind is a gift.
Okay, first of all, let's define the terms. There's mind and brain. Mind, there's a brain which is it's a kneecap or something. It's just, but mind is what brain does. And the mind under, the mind without the cross can only be an instrument of self-seeking.
You are saying the devil. I mean, how do we know that that is not the act of the devil?
The mind is the act of the devil. The mind is the Antichrist. Anytime you take thought for tomorrow, take thought for your own life, then it's Satan, the great Satan. And Satan is just a word which means the opposer. It's the great opposer at work. And it's pure evil, but God turns it to good, because that pure opposing is what manifests and tests the innocence of the seed. The seed's response is always pure instinct. Pure instinct. How long shall you resist the divine impulse? To follow the divine impulse costs you your life. Always. It always has. That's why, you know, whether it's intuition, and that's one of the great words, and they say females have greater intuition than males. Well, that's true, because the female is the type of the bride. And so it's in many instances, it's much easier for a female, in terms of the way the mind works, for her to follow her instinct or impulse than it is for a man. Because the man's mind it's more, one the other side of the brain is dominant. I mean, that's a general thing, but... But God wants us to have, to be guided only as the birds of the air, by the instinct. But it's the thing that makes us different from the birds in the air is the reason that we can now trust the instinct is that we know that everything else is vanity. We know that our own devices, we know that our own minds, we know that figuring out, planning, imagining only works within a very small, limited arena. You know, that's why like accounting works. Accounting works because you have taken and defined your terms within a limited arena, and so you've made a set of rules. That's why the bedrock doctrine of accounting is called the doctrine of consistency. It doesn't even matter whether it's right. It means if it's consistently done, then it by definition is right. Because then it's generally accepted accounting principles. And so therefore people can communicate fiscal matters with each other. But it's a contrived system of thought. And so therefore it can be right in that little arena. Take the boundaries off of it, and there's no more accountants, disappear, and then you have consultants.
And they make the,
they do, because then they are the managers and the consultants to the managers at the horizons. I mean, bookkeepers can take care of the defined boundaries. All I have to do is learn a bunch of rules. And so, you know, that's why I always make fun of people who have accountant mentalities. You know, when I worked for the intelligence department, We always made fun of the FBI because they were dorks. They had an accountant mentality, and they could only operate within a defined arena. So, I mean, this accounting is just a what?
Oh, Oh, you're just talking about dorks and account mentality, and I'm just looking over at September.
Well, she knows what I'm talking about.
I think it's funny.
But it's only, it's, that's why we can use it. I mean, we are, once we understand it, then we can use, without abusing it, we can use the world system without giving it breath. You know, it doesn't matter what field you're in, accounting is a metaphor for a type and a way of thinking. Like, Ed is just on the verge of going from accountant to consultant. I mean, he spent his journeyman or his time thus far in accounting, in writing. And now it's time to take down those walls and become a consultant.
Yeah.
Anyway, you didn't want to hear me talk about that dumb stuff.
That's when you press pass and start smoking a pipe.
But does everybody understand? The same is true in science, and we go to every discipline. When you start out in chemistry or in physics or anything, you have the mindset of accounting because you work in very carefully defined arenas and you learn all the little rules. Then you get a promotion and you find all the little rules were contrived. Now what the hell do you do? Well, you either sink or swim. Your mind either expands to a different dimension and you're able to operate in that arena without the rules, or you'll change professions. You'll become a manager or administrator where you go back to the place where you have little rules of behavior. If you watch science, especially scientists and engineers that work in business, that's exactly what happens. There's these guys, they go to school and they have great understanding of scientific principles and make great grades or engineering, and then they get out in the real world, and so they push it and push it, and then they get to the point where there's no rules, and they say, oh shit, I'm going to become a manager. Because then I can go back and use what I've learned in the accounting kind of engineering or the accounting kind of science, and I can run everybody now.
Yeah, college music theory.
Same thing. Yeah.
You start off with all these rules. It's too right, and you have to go by the rules that were used like ages ago. And then, but you got to know those rules because when you get up into the higher theory, you gotta know what rules you can break.
That's right.
But if you don't know the rules to begin with, you can't know how not to know the rules.
Well, that's
true.
That's
radio also.
Yeah.
It's like writing. I mean, you spend years here learning grammar and structure and form and attribution.
And then James Joyce comes along.
On this, and then yeah, then you know the rules, and you intentionally break the rules for effect.
Yeah.
But
that's all I'm trying to do. The same thing. That's all Bible study is, except on a bigger scale. This is a universal scale. Amen? Does everybody understand? Because you can apply it to every form of thought. There's no exception. But the problem is when you define yourself, and you've lost before you started. People are looking weird. What are you? What's going on in your heads?
Good. It has something to do, I don't know what it is, but somehow it has to do with literalizing the parable and seeing through the parable.
Well, not only that, but you become the parable.
That's why you become the sign and the wonder. You become the thing. You don't do the thing, you are the thing.
Yeah, what she was saying about music. And then you said, well, it's just like Bob said, it really is. And you sit here for a week or a year or 10 years, learning all these little bits and pieces and scriptures and rules and interpretations, and then it all gets blown away by no rules.
Rules? Yeah. Because it gets blown away, it gets blown away by grace. When you're free. Amen?
Amen.
Take a big guy.